It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land. Welcome to Veterans Day, folks. It's just about over, but it was a great day for me and for a lot of folks out there. Welcome to the George Williams Show. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And folks, you can follow us on the internet at fmtalk1065.com. That's fmtalk1065.com. So we have a lot to talk about, folks. We're supposed to have someone call in tonight, but I haven't gotten a confirmation on that. But until that time, I will continue to talk. I said it once and I'll say it again. Happy Veterans Day. And Veterans Day is so important because around this time, you have two great birthdays, folks. You have the U.S. Marine Corps 250-year birthday, and you have the Moffett Point Marines. And I'm going to get into the Moffett Point Marines. They have their 83rd birthday today, and it was outstanding over the past week, the celebration when we were celebrating Moffett Point Marine. And on November 10th, we celebrate the Marine Corps birthday. So we kind of joined them together a little bit, but it was outstanding. And I really, really, really appreciate being a member of the Moffett Point Marine Association. So let's get into it. We're going to be talking about what happened today, Veterans Day. Well, I had to get up early, folks. And, you know, a lot of you don't know it, but at 10 o'clock, I opened one eye. And 10:15, I opened the other eye. And 10:30, I opened both eyes. And that's in the morning, okay? So normally, I don't get up before that. I really don't. And a lot of people know not to call me before 10:30, all right? But this morning, I got up. And I went into Baymanette. They had the first celebration, and they had it at the William F. Green Veterans Home in Baymanette. And it was a very nice occasion. It was good seeing a lot of the old vets, World War II, Korean War vets, and Vietnam War vets. It was good seeing them. You know, you wonder, where will you be in 20 years, you know, since I'm a Vietnam vet? And it was good seeing. The ceremony was good. And I was really glad to see our newly elected sworn-in mayor, Baymanette, there. Really glad. He's a good guy so far. So far, he's a good guy. And I enjoyed seeing him there. And then from that, I went over to Pritchett. And stopped by the military cemetery over there in, not in Pritchett, but in Mobile. And then from there, I went to the collard green cook-off in Pritchett. And that was pretty good. I participated twice in that contest, and I figured I should have won it twice, but I didn't because I think the other ones cheated. It was just, they were judging you on your collard greens itself. But I think that other folks who participated in that collard green contest, they were cheating. They had cornbread. They had hog maws. They had everything. The extra they were serving it. And one contestant also had chitlins and collard greens. Okay, I thought it was very interesting, and but I didn't participate in this one, okay, because I felt I should have won the first two that I participated in. But it was nice. Plus, I didn't have time. I really didn't. So it was very nice. Then I went over to the end of the Mobile Parade, which was outstanding parade over there. And I really, really enjoyed that. And, okay, I think we have a caller, so we'll get the caller. Caller, welcome to the show. Hello?
Yes, this is Christina Helms calling for Congressman Moore's office for the Veterans History Project.
Ah, yes. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay, tell us, what is that project all about?
So, November 14th, we're going to be interviewing veterans to submit their stories and their memories to the Library of Congress for preservation. We want to have these for future generations to really understand the impact and the importance and sacrifice that they made for this country.
Okay, great. That is good. So, what kind of veterans are you looking at from different activities, war?
Yes, sir. We're looking for any veteran who has served through peacetime or wartime, any age, any branch. We are looking for every story. We want their memories. We want their most memorable experiences. We want their best friend stories. Mm-hmm. We want anything that they can provide for us.
Wow. Okay. Now, when is this going to take place?
This will be November 14th at the West Regional Branch of the Mobile Public Library. We're going to be running interviews from 9 a.m. till about 4 p.m.
Okay. And what's the library?
The West Regional over on Greeley Lodge.
All right. I'm covering it down. Okay. And from what time?
From 9 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Oh, 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how do you register for that?
They just simply need to call our office, and we'll take down their name, number, their branch, and some information. And then we'll be sending out confirmation emails this week just to make sure that they know and remember what time they're coming in. If they're not able to make the fair, we're also going to be continuing this project well after this date.
Okay. What is your number?
It's 251-264-6710.
6710?
Yes, sir.
6710. Now, I did that probably about 10 years ago, you know, and I forgot with whom we did it, but they interviewed us and we talked about, our career in the military. So I like that idea.
We do, too. As soon as we heard about it, we knew our office wanted to participate in it.
Wow. Okay. All right. So basically, you're going to be talking about the career of the person, of the soldier or naval, the sailor or the Air Force. And then what are you going to do with that after you finish the interview?
So what we'll do is we'll file it all away. We take the recordings on our phones, mm-hmm. and then we're going to compile everything, and we'll send it into the Library of Congress. Now, mm-hmm. once they get that, they'll review the interviews and tell us if we need to add more or anything like that.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea. Good. And normally, how long are the interviews?
We'd like to get at least 30 minutes. If they run over, that's totally fine, but the minimum amount they want is 30 minutes.
Okay, minimum amount. Okay, that's good. So you're going to have it how many days?
We're just going to do the original fair on this coming Friday, but we're going to be, our office hours are open for anyone to call in, and if they want to say, or if they want to schedule an appointment to come to the office, okay. or have us go to them, we're going to be continuing doing this on an ongoing basis.
Great. All right, that sounds good. And after the break, I'll talk about that a little bit more. So we really appreciate you calling in and letting us know, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good bye-bye. Idea. Good, bye-bye. Good idea, folks. You know, they're going to record history, and they're going to keep it at the Library of Congress. And as you know, I have a cousin that works at the Library of Congress, and they index everything, everything. I remember when I was going through language school, Portuguese language school, I went over to the Library of Congress and found some good information about my family background. So it's pretty good. And they have a fantastic system there. Fantastic system. So I think I'm going to take advantage of that and go and give my interview. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. And we are on a mission. We're definitely on a mission. And number one of that mission is to get every Democrat out of office that we can. Washington and the state of Alabama. Our Congress folks, we have two Congress Democrats in Alabama that needs to go, okay? And we're trying to line up someone to run against both of them. And that is in District 6, Madam Sewell, and District 2, Samari Figures, because in my opinion, they are zeros, okay? They voted, both of them voted against the law that was passed by Congress to keep men and boys out of women and girls sports. They voted against that. And for that, folks, they should not be in the Congress. They should not be in Congress for doing that. So we're trying to get them out of there. We're trying to get them out of there. And we will succeed, okay? With your help, your votes, we will get Samari Figures and Congresswoman Sewell out of Congress. We don't need Democrats in Alabama. We need a lot more Republican. And you know, when they complained, the NAACP and the Southern Poverty Law Center, when they complained about the Alabama being a racist place, and when they did the redistricting, they left the blacks out. Well, you know, the federal government got involved. And they left other blacks out, the black Republicans. Okay? They left other blacks out, black Republicans. And then we got, as a result of that, we got a black Democrat, Samari Figures. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so we are hoping that the Supreme Court will reverse that. Will reverse that decision. We're definitely hoping that. And that we can get a black Republican, not only in Congress, folks, but in the Alabama House and the Alabama Senate. Now, we have one black Republican in the Alabama House, and he lives up in northern Alabama, Shelby County. Okay? Shelby County. And guess what? That district that he won is a Republican district. And you audience have to realize this, that the black Republicans do not win in Democratic districts. It's unbelievable, but it's true. It is definitely true. So don't you think they should create a district for black Republicans? Why not? Why not? They did it for the Democrats. But anyway, we don't want them to do that, folks. We want to win on our own accord. And that's why we're hoping that the Supreme Court will reverse that decision in Congressional District 2 and put it back the way it was. And not only in Alabama, but in other states. You know, you look at New York, I forget how many delegates they have, and California, how many congressional folks they have in those two states. But I believe in one state they have one Democrat, and then they have, in the other state they have two, they have one Republican, I'm sorry, and in the other state they have two Republicans. So you got two of the largest states, the most populated states, that are blue states, and we only have three Republicans combined, okay? Combined. And the only way that could be remedied is for the Supreme Court to say, nope, stay out of it. Stay out of it, lower courts. Lower courts, stay out of it. Because the Republican, and you folks, some of you don't know the importance of redistricting. Because that is when the congressional seats are chosen. And you look at the situation today, I think we have two or three congressional seats over the Democrats, and we have the same thing in the Senate. Well, folks, if the lines were drawn different, the Republicans would be way ahead in the congressional seats. But we're not. We're not. So it's not being fair to the Republicans. Not being fair to the Republicans. So this is what we are fighting for. Equality in the congressional districts. And another thing you have to realize is that all of these illegals coming in here, okay, and I can tell you what I saw during the 2000s, the 90s, when a lot of foreigners came over here, the Democrat, under the Democratic rule, they were rapidly given U.S. citizenship. Okay? So that meant they were able to vote. And I take a place, a situation like was in Paterson, New Jersey, where I lived from the age of 10 until I was transferred out and went overseas. They quick track these legal residents, aliens, and made them U.S. citizens so they'll be able to vote. And you look at Minnesota, you look at Michigan, you look at Wisconsin, where they had all of those foreigners to come in. And a lot of them came across the border in Canada over. And you wonder, because I remember in 2008, I believe I was a delegate to the convention in St. Paul. And I saw so many foreigners. And I asked one of the state troopers, where all these people come from? And he told me, Canada. Okay. Well, those folks are citizens now. And some of the Congress people are Congress. They're in Congress. They came over across the Canadian border. And so that is why the Democrats don't want ID voting in America, in my opinion. That's why they don't want it. You know, people got upset and angry over the election in New Jersey, Virginia. These are governor's races. Okay? They got pretty upset because the Democrats won. Why do you think they won, folks? Why do you think they won? In my opinion, I still think there's a lot of cheating in those states that don't require ID voting. A lot of cheating that does not require ID voting And hopefully the Supreme Court will take that up. I heard they're going to take it up. And they're going to make a ruling on it that requires everyone to vote. And the reason I say that is because the Constitution states that only U.S. citizens can vote in our election. So how do you verify that this person is a U.S. citizen? How do you verify it? Now, I see Alabama is giving out the star and several states on your driver's license, which should indicate that you are a U.S. citizen. But there's still a lot of citizens that are not submitting their license for that star. So you still have a problem, okay? So we need the Supreme Court to hear the case and make the ruling that if you're going to vote in any election in these United States of America, you must be a United States citizen, one, and two, you must have a photostat ID. Photostat ID. And they require all states to issue the star on your driver's license to indicate that you are a U.S. citizen. And that's easy to do, folks. You know, the Democrats said when Alabama required driver's license or ID for voting, oh, we can't get it. We can't get our ID. Oh, it's too difficult. Bull. John Merrill made it very easy for you to get that star on your driver's license. And then plus, if you're in the military, you have a military ID, okay? You have a military ID. So we have to do that, folks. And another thing, do away with mail-in ballots, okay? Elections, mail-in ballots should only be required for the military, because they're out of their state, they're overseas. That's what it was initially for, military personnel, okay, and government officials. That's what it was required for. Oh, not all of a sudden, you know, if somebody's in their hometown, if they don't want to vote, they'll say we want an absentee ballot. No, we got to do away with that, folks. That's where a lot of cheating takes place. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. We're definitely on a mission. Now, before the young lady called to talk about the interviews for the military, I was talking about the Moffett Point Marines. And I've got to get back to that, folks, because, three weeks ago, I think, I had Master Gunnery Sergeant Cynthia House here, and we talked about the dance that we had to celebrate the 83rd birthday of the Moffett Point Marines. And I want to let you know what that's all about and the Moffett Point Marine, because a lot of folks don't know. And I'm trying to look it up now so I can read it to you. And I can tell you a little bit. The Moffett Point Marines, you see, before World War II, the Marine Corps didn't have any blacks in the Marine Corps, and they did not allow it. So President Roosevelt signed an executive order mandating that the Marines allow the blacks into the Marine Corps. So in 1942, the Marine Corps allowed blacks in, but they did not allow them to be trained with white troops. And what they did was, Camp Lejeune is huge. I remember after coming back from Vietnam, I was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and it's in North Carolina. It's a huge, huge, huge base for Marines. Huge base. So they broke off a little section of that base, and they created the Moffett Point Marine, and they created a training area for that, for the black troops. And they had about 22,000 black Marines to go through the training at Camp Moffett Point, and they served in World War II and the Korean War, because I can recall when I was in Vietnam, some of our senior enlisted were Moffett Point Mariners who had participated in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. So they were there in Vietnam. And what we did, not me, some of the folks before me, they decided to honor the Moffett Point Marines, and they created chapters. Now, we have a Moffett Point Marine chapter in Mobile. I think we got 43 of them in all, and we're chapter 33. So we have, just prior to the Marine Corps birthday, we have the dinner dance of the Moffett Point Marine, and we had it on Friday night at the Holiday Inn. And last year we had it at the Marriott, and it was very nice. We had about 250 people to attend that. Now, our guest speaker, now listen up to this, folks. Our guest speaker was 100 years old. And, folks, he got around without crutches, without wheelchair, okay? And he spoke. It's truly unbelievable. I remember they were looking for him inside the room where we're going to have the dinner. And he was walking around talking to people. They thought he had gotten lost. Unbelievable. So, and we had another original Moffett Point Marines who was 102 years old there. Truly unbelievable. And these were World War II vets, folks. World War II. So, and then I think 2011, President Obama signed an order creating a medal for them, a gold medal. And every year since that time, we have found the Moffett Point Marines from World War II, and we present them with that medal. A very nice medal. It's really, really, really nice. So we still have, and they're estimating out of the 22,000 Moffett Point Marines that they still have around 400 of them. 400 of them who are still alive. Alive. And we also, the other night, if the Marine has deceased, then we will present that medal to his family members. So we did present one to a family member of a deceased Moffett Point Marine. So that's how important it is for us to maintain the memory of those Marines who went through hell, okay? Now, I went through hell back in 63, 64. Can you imagine the hell that they had to go through? going through Parris Island. It's not easy, folks. Not easy going through Marine. It's much easier now going through Marine Corps boot camp. But at that time, no. I know when I went through, it wasn't easy, especially going through in the winter, folks. And I joined in December, so you can imagine. But in order to, you know, honor those Marines, and we're still doing it, and we still find some that are still alive. And like, you know, the World War II vets, not just Marfa Point Marines, but they're all approaching 100 years old. 100 years old. And so, you know, I went to the William F. Green military home today, this morning. And, you know, most of those soldiers were in wheelchairs, But every single one of them is approaching 100, and a few are over 100. So this one that was our guest speaker, he was unbelievable. He is unbelievable. He'll walk better than I walk. And he'll talk better than I talk. He has all of his faculties. It is truly outstanding. So we are, it reminds you of the Buffalo Soldiers, and I know a lot of you have heard of the Buffalo Soldiers, the Black Army troops in the 1800s and the early 1900s. So we're trying to keep those memories alive to honor them. That's what we like to do. All right, what else did we do to earn, to honor our vets? Well, we had a luncheon at the National Guard Armory, and there was some activity at the Battleship Park. Huh? And there was a parade in Pritchett. And we could also go to restaurants, certain restaurants, and they would feed you. And they wouldn't charge you anything. But when I went to the Pritchett Parade, they had to-go boxes. So I had a to-go box. And I said, no, I don't want to, you know, any more food. But it was really nice, folks. It was really nice. And what else did we do? We did a lot, folks. We did a lot. Now, I also have to talk about this idiot who is the mayor-elect in New York, Mandami. New York, New York, New York. How can you be so stupid to elect that individual who, in my estimate, in my opinion, has nothing good in store for New York or the people of New York. Nothing. Nothing. He's a socialist, and he says he's a socialist. He doesn't deny that. Okay? He's a Muslim, which nothing wrong with being a Muslim, but he's, in my opinion, he's a radical Muslim. And he has all kinds of plans in store for New York. Well, you know what I say about that? You got him. You deserve him. You voted for him. You deserve him. And let's see what happens to New York. Because, folks, you voted for him. You voted for him. In New Jersey, you voted for the female governor-elect. Okay? In Virginia, you had a former Marine who's a lieutenant governor there, who's a black female, but yet and still you had the NAACP. You know what that is, folks? National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Okay? This is a black organization that was started in 1909 by a white female to help black candidates. And guess what? The NAACP endorsed this lady who won that election, the white lady. All of the Democrats, most of the Democrats endorsed her. Okay? So, this is why I say the NAACP is nothing but a conduit for the Democratic Party. Okay? The party of the KKK, the party of the anti-Republicans, to include black Republicans. Okay? These are the folks now who, doing that since the Civil War, has been fighting the Lincoln Republicans, the Republicans. And I said it once and I'll say it again. The NAACP, look at Dr. Martin Luther King when he started his organization. He did not march under the umbrella of the NAACP. They created their own organization, SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Okay? Now, once he was assassinated, now, Jesse Jackson, they were all part of that. Abernathy, they were all part of the SCLC. But once he was assassinated, most of the leadership of the SCLC was involved with the NAACP. Folks, this is so hard to believe. Okay? Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all of them. And this is what we're facing today. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And continuing with our mission, we were talking about the NAACP and what they stand for, and them being a conduit for the Democratic Party, which is a shame, because that's not what it was created for. Okay? That's not what it was created for. And I did an interview regarding the 65 Civil Rights Bill. And they asked me, the reporter, what did I think about it? And before I give you that answer of what I said, I thought about Mobile. I thought about the South, where there were a lot of demonstrations against blacks, a lot of segregation. And I think about when Martin Luther King first started off. Now, my grandparents, one set, my mother's set, were from Evergreen and Snow Hill. My father's mother and father, and he was born in Mount Sterling, Choctaw County. My grandmother and great-grandmother were Choctaw Indians. On my mother's side, my grandmother and my great-grandmother were Creek Indians. And they were Republicans. they were Republicans. So when Martin Luther King came along, and he started his activities, I remember them talking, my grandmother and grandfather and my mother and father, talking about Martin Luther King being a troublemaker. He's nothing but a troublemaker, okay? I remember that, folks. I was young, very young. So that's what they were thinking at that time. And they were all Republicans, because Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. Now, what was the confusion? Why did the blacks go over to the Democratic Party? Well, Senator Edward Dirksen, United States Senator, and Congressman Gerald Ford, and the Republicans got together and they decided to present a bill. It was a civil rights bill. Now, they had to convince, because this was after President Kennedy was shot, was killed, and Johnson, President Johnson, who was a very devious man, and he had a reputation, okay? LBJ. They had to convince him that this civil rights bill, which is what should be done to include blacks. And he acquiesced. He said, okay. Now, he didn't have to call Republicans for that. He had to call the Dixiecrat, the prejudiced senators and Congress folks, Jesse Helm, and all that, those groups, okay? He had to convince them. But Johnson was a very shrewd man, very shrewd man. And he figured that he was going to bring the blacks over to the Democratic Party. And he would do that by passing this civil rights bill. Okay? So, the senators acquiesced. And it was passed. Now, the black folks thought this was the greatest thing in the world. I remember when that passed. They thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And as a result, a lot of them came over to the Democratic Party, went over to the Democratic Party. I said came over because I was too. I was young. So that's how a lot of blacks became Democrat. And I can remember my mother and father arguing with my grandmother and grandfather about blacks coming over to the Democratic Party. And my grandfather and grandmother were very angry, okay, at some of their children going over to the Democratic Party because we were Republicans. We were Republicans. And President Johnson, he was slick. He got it done, and a lot of blacks went over. And a lot of you don't remember, but in 1958, when JFK was a senator from Massachusetts, President Eisenhower was the president, and he presented a civil rights bill to help the blacks out. And what happened? Kennedy was in Massachusetts, senator, and he voted against it. Okay? Now, I have to admit, I like JFK, and I didn't know all of this about him voting against it until later on. But that's what he did. He voted against the civil rights bill presented by Eisenhower because he was a Democrat, and he went along with the Democrats. So that is a little story about why blacks went over to the Democratic Party. Now, I told you I was young, and I was a Democrat because I liked JFK. But then in 1980, Reagan was elected. He was running for office. And I saw how weak Jimmy Carter was. So it was Reagan who brought me over permanently to the Republican Party. And I've been here ever since. And it is my opinion that you look at those days back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and you look at today, in my opinion, the Democratic Party is the worst thing for the United States of America. The worst. And I'm doing everything in my power to keep the Democrats out of office, not only in Alabama, but I'm part of this Project 21. And you look at what the Democrats are doing today, what they're trying to do against President Trump. There's so much sabotage by the Democrats. And look at this situation with the government shutdown. And I've said it before, the government never shut down totally, okay? Never. Certain elements, yeah. But look at what they're doing. They're trying to prolong Obamacare. And you know, it would not have happened if John McCain had voted with the Republicans. John McCain, very disappointment with John McCain. But he's the one that voted with the Democrats to pass Obamacare. Okay? And Obamacare is the worst thing in the world. Because I have a daughter who has been sick, and Obamacare did nothing for her. So I am financially helping my daughter. Anybody say Obamacare is a good thing? Something is wrong with them, okay? And you look at the Senate, you look at the Congress, and they are trying to save Obamacare. That's what they're trying to do. They are trying to ruin this country. Look at what they're doing with ICE. They are trying to hide illegals. Now, why are they doing this? Folks, they're doing this because they're looking for future voters. Okay? Legally or illegally, that's what they want. And we can't allow that. We cannot allow that. We cannot allow that. So let's get off of your behinds out there, folks. And in these elections, let's vote. We haven't had many Republicans to vote. Folks, we're losing seats to Democrats because some of you are sitting on your behind and you won't get out to vote. Okay? You are ruined. If you're doing that, you're worse than the Democrats. So get off your behind, get out there and vote, and let's keep these Democrats out of office. All right, time to get out of here, folks. So until next week, Vicon Dales, everyone.